Most importantly, I think this is the coolest thing about the show. It looks freaking awesome.
Yeah. As a Star Wars fan, it looks like the Stormtrooper'd out.
Yeah. I think that's important. I think looks do matter. I think if you're going to spend $350, it should look good too.
Yep.
If you're in the market for a driver and you're under 100 miles per hour,
this is a shaft you have to try.
You have to try it. You have to try
it. Welcome back to a new episode of Logger at Golf Podcast. Today we've got a pretty fun one here because it's something that we can actually talk about for the everyday golfer, not just the tour golfer.
Yeah.
So what we've got in front of us is the brand new 2025 Ventus Velocor White. So new introduction to a color, new introduction to a shaft market, kind of area that hasn't really been focused on. And obviously Ventus has become, you know, basically a household name at this point with every tour player hitting it.
Number one shaft on the market,
yeah.
I would say, as far as like the shaft itself, as well as the family. And obviously I would probably undoubtedly say it's number one shaft on tour. But the cool thing is Fujikura actually thought about the other 99% of golfers when it came to this shaft. Not that they didn't with the other ones.
Yeah, because we still fit plenty of normal
people. But we have the brand new Ventus White Series here, which we've had it in the bays for almost a month now.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say it's been a game changer when it comes to just another offering for who we're going to talk about it's for. But before we dive into that, let's talk about the technology of the shaft and what makes it so great.
Yeah. So Velocor Plus, which was introduced, you know, late last year with the blue, the red, mm-hmm. and the black. So the original Velocor is a 70-ton, 40-pitch material. And what the team did with Enzo, and Enzo is that camera system that Fuji uses to analyze every single shaft they do, how it loads, unloads, is they went and reconstructed that material. Mm-hmm. So they found a new way to weave it. And they've added an extra material that they're keeping hush hush, but there's actually a third material in the shaft. So that's where the plus comes from.
Mm.
So it's a little bit re-engineered, a little bit of enhancement. So to bring a little bit more feel back to the shaft without sacrificing stability. So, and I think what makes this one so unique is, I mean, we've got the spec sheet here. The red is a 3.4 torque for the most part until you get into a little bit of the lighter weight stuff. Then you've got the blue, which is going to be about 3.2, black 2.7.
Yeah, there's not a big discrepancy from red to black as there used to be.
Yep. And then you go from red at 3.8 to the white at 5.0.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot more feel, a lot more loading capability.
Yeah. And I would say, like, these type of shafts have been very popular in the market with the introduction of AutoFlex.
Yep.
And then you had BGT come out with their version,
Acura,
LA Golf. And there's definitely been that high-end shaft and, out there with these kind of torque ratings. It's just we didn't really quite – this was something we weren't expecting at all.
Well, at the price point, you know, AutoFlex is $850.
Yeah.
Fuji's coming at you at $350.
Yeah. So.
Huge savings.
Awesome stuff there. I will say on the technology side, and we'll kind of lead this into who we truly think this is for. I think it's important, you know, one of the main reasons why they came out with this is the White Series is all, you see them as 4S, 4R, 4R2. And the 4 usually stands for 40 grams, but it's actually 49 grams. And a lot of people don't realize this when you see a Ventus Black, blue, red, 5, 6, 7, you know, or essentially just like that. They're essentially 10 grams heavier than the number, right?
Yeah, it's so basically the series of shafts.
Yeah, the 5S is 59 grams. The 6S is 69 grams. So the regular Ventus series is a little bit on the higher, like heavier side.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a true 60 gram, just like this is not a true 40 gram shaft. But I think that's why ultimately where they've been missing the mark is like they've had the Velocor regular flexes in the other color lines, but I still feel like that 5R was a little too heavy for the golfers. Does that make sense?
Well, and it was still in the 3 torque area too. Mm-hmm. So yeah. A little stiff.
It's still a little stiff, still a little heavy. So there's some lightweight, I would say, non-premium shafts that could easily outperform those. Does that make sense?
Yep.
But now, let's say, who exactly is this shaft for?
Well, I think the hardest driver fittings we see as far as when in the stiff flex category is that guy that's 97 miles an hour to 103. It's almost like no matter what shaft, what head you throw at him, there's like a governor built into it. Yeah,
ball's flying 235. So,
no matter what they do. And then with this thing being a 5.0 torque, what we've been able to see is it's actually increased club head speed to 2-3 miles an hour in some fittings.
Without sacrificing efficiency.
Correct. And every 2-3 miles an hour ball speed's 2.7 yards. So without changing anything about your swing, having the ability to change a shaft and pick up 8-11 yards is pretty big.
Yeah, so we're going to say stiff flex. This is definitely someone in that 95 to 105 zone.
Yeah.
And I will say in the fittings, I've 100% seen that too. And the difference is like I've always tried to get people into that BGT shaft because it's just so easy to swing. But because it's that super, I would say, I'm not going to say flimsy, but it's just a super weird torque profile.
It's different. Yeah.
A lot of players in that zone, lose efficiency, right? And we're talking about the everyday golfer here, the everyday golfer that
the toe strikes, the heel strikes, we're not the hitting bottom groove strikes.
I'm not hitting the center of the face every time, let alone, you know, technically nobody does all the time. But I think this, perfect example is my dad. My dad struggled with driver for like the past 2 years when it comes to distance and just pure like consistency of ball flight. You give them something too light, it would get low and hooky. You give them something too stiff, it gets a little high and blocky. And he's a changed guy.
He's going to watch this later and be like, threw me under the bus.
I'm just saying. He's not struggling anymore and he's playing good golf right now. So it's the traditional Ventus stability that's light enough. But, you know, that everybody can play it. Now, the biggest surprise is we have a Ventus Senior Flex.
Yeah. This has actually been the fun one for me.
Yeah, this has been awesome.
So, like, I like to, not to narrow down the shaft market, but when you get in a Senior Flex, you've got Cypher that performs really well, Denali Red.
And Helium.
And Helium. That's pretty much it for your... Yeah. And I don't want to say not technology.
And Denali shafts. Red has been doing great.
But your basic technology, like no upcharge shaft options, like so really good options. But then when you go aftermarket, you've got AutoFlex at $850. Then you've got BGT Senior Flex at, what is it, $479? Mm-hmm. And this is before tip, grip, and adapter, which we run specials on that stuff. Yeah. But and then you've got
BGT, if you order through them, I think they still put tip on cool. And stuff like that.
And then you had Newton. And that's been pretty much it.
We've heard a lot about Newton. We don't have Newton in our store, but yeah.
But this has been fun because we've paired this with some of the Wilson drivers, Tour Edge, QI35 Max. My favorite combo so far with it, GT1 with the lightweights, and this shaft has been kind of like a, I don't want to say a miracle worker, but when I've got clients of that 67 to 65 mile an hour club head speed and they can't break that 160 threshold, that's been the combo that's kind of done it.
Yeah, and I will say too, it's the side spin. The side spin numbers are down just dramatically compared to a lot of the stock Senior Flex, stock regular flex options.
Yeah, we're not seeing those slappy cut spinny shots as easily.
No. And obviously now that the newer heads, all of them are becoming so draw biased. I mean, you don't need a lot of help from the shaft, but any bit of help can definitely change, you know, two or three fairways around for somebody, which is very important.
We'll have to clarify for the keyboard warriors lately. The Max heads are the ones that are becoming more draw bias, obviously.
Yeah.
Because if not, we'll get called out on it again.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's been an amazing shaft in the fitting bay. And honestly, I'm probably in our fittings, which is the normal golfers, I've been pulling this shaft out more for people than I have the other Ventus series.
Yeah.
Now the other Ventus series they're still going to be Fujikura's top seller.
That's going to be their bread and butter.
Yeah, but for what we see, for who comes in our building, I mean, this has just been awesome. This has been awesome. So,
well, again, it's kind of our first shaft that we can really say is made for a normal player.
Yeah.
That you don't need to do anything special to do. Like, you don't have to time it a certain way. You don't have to get used to the amount of flex it has.
Yep.
it still has enough stability in the tip with VeloCore. Obviously, that's what VeloCore is, where you can just swing it and not have to worry about that. Because that's the part where this category gets gimmicky, is if you look at like fly shafts and Autoflex, they tell you that you have to get used to timing it. Well, you shouldn't have to time anything. You should be able to pick a target down the fairway, hit it, and then go. So that's one thing I've really enjoyed about this. It takes that guess out of it.
And most importantly, I think this is the coolest thing about the shaft. It looks freaking awesome.
Yeah. As a Star Wars fan, it looks like the Stormtrooper'd out.
Yeah. I think that's important. I think looks do matter.
But it eludes confidence, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Like me, I didn't like the old red that was on the vintage red.
The shiny gloss.
I love like the matte finish that I have in my three wood. So I think this ties into it. I think if you're going to spend $350, it should look good too.
Yep.
Let alone perform well. So I think this has been a home run. Now, do we have shots with this?
Mm-mm.
No shots with this. So to be fair, these shafts are not, we're not going to do it justice.
Yeah.
It's not, no one's going to learn anything with us swinging it. I think tie anything more into that.
No, I mean, it's
shorts. If you're in the market for a driver and you're under 100 miles per hour,
this is a shaft you have to try.
You have to try it. You have to try it. Leave it at that. Perfect. Show and tell. Where do the best golfers live? Best. So this is average handicap based on state. Yep. Average handicap in Mississippi is 10.2.
Well, there's probably not a lot to do in Mississippi.
Hey, it's a great area. Worst, Maine, 15.8. That makes sense. Maine only has like a 4-month golf season.
I was going to say, they're just where Roger lives and right on the border of New Hampshire and Maine. Some of the golf courses are just opening this week.
Yeah. And so. I will say, yeah, I mean, obviously, if you look at the Northeast, they're definitely on the higher side compared to besides you get to the Pacific Northwest. But Florida, 13.8.
I feel like that number is a little skewed, though.
That number's a little skewed, but like, I mean, yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah, absolutely. North Carolina, 12.8. That makes sense. Like, if you had to ask me what the average handicap of our state is, I would have said like 14.
Yeah.
I would have said probably 14 to 18 across the country. To see that Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, I mean, don't mess with them. Don't mess with the South when it comes to golf. I mean, damn. Tennessee, Kentucky, 11.7, Missouri, 11.8. I mean, they're playing golf in the Midwest, man.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked by the Arkansas to Alabama strand. You'd think that'd
I think we got to do more research into that. We got to figure out what's going on. A lot of golf courses.
The Robert Trent Jones Trail and all that, but
I mean, Oklahoma, 11.1. For Oklahoma and Kansas to have better than North Carolina, South Carolina, it's windy as hell. I played golf in Kansas. It was different. If you like playing golf in 25-mile-per-hour winds every day, I mean, that's impressive. That's truly impressive.
I feel like, we're going to go off on a side quest here. I feel like Florida and the Carolinas is skewed. The only reason why I feel like it's skewed is
Northeast.
This right here travels to two states for the fall winter.
That's kind of
skewing the average a little bit.
The snowbird effect, but it all depends on where they keep their handicap, which is their home club. Because you got to think, I think the reason why these are high is because they keep their handicaps there. Snowbirds keep their handicaps down, and they're, from my experience of working.
So those are sandbaggers?
No. Well, yes. Yes.
What do you mean you shot 46 in a Captain Choice tournament?
Yes. Mm. But no, this is a good find, Miles. Yep. This is a good find. It's I'm going to be thinking about that today. And stop sandbagging. Like, just play to your true potential. Play to your true potential. Like, just learn. Like, there's no benefit to saying you're better than you are.
Ooh, how about this? To test this chart, what we can do is, if you're watching it from another state or our state, put the state you play your golf in and what your handicap is, and we'll see how it compares to the chart. Just for fun.
Okay.
Just for fun.
We don't need the handicap police.
No, but just for fun.
So
I'd be curious.
The floor is yours.
Yeah. That's tough.
The Labs are still our number one seller here in store. We're not talking bad about it.
Yep. And honestly, we've talked enough about Lab.
I know.
But I think since yesterday was the debut of the Odyssey's copy of the Lab, the Max or whatever they're going to call it, it's worth bringing up. I think we've moved out of that fad stage or that, okay, well, it might be a gimmick stage. Typically, like, for example, when the Autoflex first came on tour, Adam Scott had it, Louis Uste, all these players switched to it, and then 2 weeks later it was gone, right? Yeah, it's like, okay, this isn't going to work.
They're back in the old school whiteboard, right? And blue board.
Yeah. And same thing with putter. Like, when the Spider first came out, everybody switched to it, and a few weeks later everybody quit using it.
I mean, if you play golf for 10 years and haven't owned a Spider.
Yeah, you'd be shocked.
You'd be shocked, yeah.
With Zero Torque, we're now on our fourth year of talking about, will Zero Torque stay? So I think that's kind of the answer in itself.
Yes.
Is it going to? Yeah, it's going to stay. We're 4 years deep, and three companies have had a direct copy of one company.
Mm-hmm.
So Ping's going to have theirs. It's called Onset. This is still technically not
prototype.
It's still proto, so it's...
I will say that will be... There will be more of those bought than any other Zero Torque putter. I personally think it's the first Phantom line that actually looks good.
Yep.
For some reason, I've never liked the Phantom look with a traditional double bend or like short slant. You know what I mean? It just always looked too busy. Now that the shaft is directly in the center of the head, I feel like it actually makes everything look more balanced.
Well, one thing that I noticed this weekend, because a lot of players, again,
are still using it. They're here to stay on tour. Every week there's more and more Zero Torque putters, and it's not just Lab.
Most of the Odyssey ones on tour, they're no longer, and you can even see it in this photo, you can see the face at direct, they're going to a black insert on tour.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hiding the face at impact.
So that's the thing, that's why I didn't like about the...
Square to square.
The square to square is... That's what I don't like about any of the Jailbird stuff. You see the face.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks like it has 9 degrees aloft. Now, I've had the DF3. I had a custom Zero Torque putter made. I actually haven't putted with it in the last month or so. Probably would have helped me yesterday. But I will say there's one thing about Zero Torques, and the reason why I went away from it is I just started to get... I started to think that I didn't have to do anything. It started to get like I wasn't feeling athletic over the putts. Like it started to feel like I was just like relying on the putter to do the work. And then at the end of the day, it's like you can't do that, right? You still have to control the putter. You still have to do everything. Like the putter isn't just going to line up and hit the ball where it needs to go. And...
So you didn't go away from it because it's the official putter of YouTube and Instagram?
No.
No, oh, okay. That's
yes. Part of it. I mean, I just it's just one of those things that I think if you're looking for a lot of simplicity when it comes to the putting stroke and stuff, I think they're definitely worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It started just to feel a little too mechanical.
Well, and how
instead of free flowing.
A lot of my higher handicap players that go to this, what I try to get them to comprehend from a teaching perspective, as you know, as a tournament player, I mean, you played in a qualifier yesterday, a lot of putting's mental too, just having confidence standing over it.
I had 4-3 putts, and
that's mental. You go to one of these putters and it doesn't do anything for you from a strokes gain standpoint, but you mentally are freed up, that right there is worth the switch.
It is worth it.
Regardless of how it performs, so...
No.
That's what's always been so curious. Like, I mean, Brent Snedeker was selected yesterday as the President's Cup captain, and then he's playing this week, and they talked about his putter. It's 21 years old. It's a white hot XG Rossi
stroke.
Number 5. And then he's Steve Stricker, 27-year-old original
Odyssey.
White hot.
Yeah.
And I think it's a number 6 or number 7 that he's putted toe down with. It just works. I mean, the putters are cool because of that aspect right there. It doesn't have to look good. Doesn't have to be technical functional, but you can still make it work if it works.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely, long story short, they're here to stay.
Yeah.
They're not going anywhere.
These companies aren't going to make millions of dollars in investments and molds for a fad.
No.
They're just not.
And every company can thank Lab for creating the market.
Yep.
And Lab will do just fine going forward. None of these companies are going to replace Lab.
Yeah, I think that's the part that
like most, that's what everyone has to remember is like lab isn't going anywhere.
They're selling more putters than what people realize.
Yes.
That's why their lead time, which is getting back, but that's why they're still 6 to 8 weeks right now. Yeah. So
yeah. No, but good conversation to have.
Yep.
Good conversation. We're trying not to be controversial every week, so yep. But close us out.
Cool.
Let's go to work.
Well, if you haven't already, like, subscribe, turn on the push bell notifications. Like I said, for fun, put what state you live in your handicap, and we'll compare it to the chart, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Peace.